The newscast is produced by Monica Lopez and Simba Russo. Headlines editors are Randy Zimmerman and Nell Abram. DC editor is Mitch Jezerich. Our technical production team is Jade Paget-Seekins, Pauline Bartolone, Mick Millen, and Lindsay Benedict. We have technical assistance from Eric Klein. I'm Aura Bogado.
And this is radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. Time for Off the Wall. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. And this is Liberation Day. That's right. It's July 6th, 2004? Yeah, okay. 2004. My goodness, where does it go? And yeah, this is the day. This is the day that one Thomas B. Kin Chung is released from prison for selling bongs on the internet. So we're going to celebrate that with our final Tommy Chong tribute of this period. And I guess we'll take phone calls, too, because we left with so many on the line last week talking about the Michael Moore movie and all kinds of other things like that. So we'll be taking more phone calls if people didn't get through last week, if they have something else to say. That number, once again, area code 631-632-WUSB, or 9872 if you don't have those little letters on your phone. Here, then, our final Tommy Chong tribute.
Oh, wow, man. This stuff is incredible, man.
Yeah, I got it from the speed freak who lives downstairs, man. He's a really cool dude. I stole it from him. Hey, man, you know what we're going to do right now?
What,
I got
man?
An idea. We're gonna smoke a little bit more. Take one or two more tooks, and then we're gonna turn on the television set, man.
No, wait, man. We have to first write some material for the record, man, you know?
No, man. Nobody works on records anymore, man. We just watch this stuff that's on TV. There are these funny guys, and they're funny. These guys are written, man. And they wear dresses and stuff, and we can just take their stuff.
Oh, man.
Because they're not gonna be looking, and they're over there, man. They don't even know the difference.
Oh,
the
man.
Ocean.
That's a great idea, man. We turn on the TV, man,
yeah,
and
I
we just
get...
tape record the show, you
well,
know?
I got the tape recorder, man.
Hey, man. Let's turn on the tube, okay?
I got it all set. Okay, man. Here it comes.
Excuse me.
Oh, man. Those guys are wearing dresses, man. I don't believe it. Oh, wow.
That's the most insane thing I ever seen.
Hey, man. Turn it up a little, man. Turn it up.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Turn it up a little.
You've got a dress on already. Ooh, so
come on, let's try something else, man. We're really cooking, man.
Well, I need one for tomorrow's show.
Wilbur. Will you show me how to curtsy again?
How's it talking, man? I don't believe it.
Yeah, Ed, you just kind of lean forward and spread your dress like this and bend your knee.
Well, I'm leaving.
Hi. We're going to talk about some interesting things today. Did you know that? Sure. Hi, because I'm your friend. Can you say that? Friend? Sure. We're going to talk about what to do when it rains outside. And the rain goes pitter-patter, pitter-patter in your window. Or when it's snowing out and your feet are cold? Sure. You know, I'm your friend, and I hope that you're my friend, too. Because we can be special to each other. Did you know that? Sure. And speaking of special things, there's someone right next to me today that's very special to me. His name is Mr. McNulty. Sure. Hi, Mr. McNulty. How are you?
I'm fine, Mr. Hodges. How are you?
Great. You know, you're very special, Mr. McNulty. Can you say that?
You know, you're very special, Mr. McNulty. Can
just say special.
Special.
Thank you. You know, we're going to have a very interesting show today. We're gonna play some music for you. We hope you enjoy it. We're just going to sort of sit here and listen to some very nice music.
Oh, man. I don't believe it, man. Those two guys are dancing.
Darn it, man. I can't stand it.
I'm the astronaut!
Smith, Yale.
Jesse Owens.
No, I'm sorry. The answer is Sistine Chapel. Sistine Chapel. Okay, here's a 50-point toss-up. Who was the commander of the Roman army's west phalanx at the Battle of Zama, 202 BC? Novotny, Harvard.
Marcus Aurelius.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. Can you take it? Cotton, Yale.
Double jeopardy?
No, the answer is Capillo Africanus.
Cheese is funny. I think what we should do, though, is have some animals in women's clothing.
Hey, write that down, man. That's
all right. I don't mind that. How about having cheese in women's clothing?
Well, I could go for a gouda and a pantsuit.
A gouda in a pantsuit would be nice, or maybe a camembert in a nice little culotte.
Ooh, that would be cheeky, wouldn't it?
Word. I know, a sheep eating a cheddar in a mini.
Ooh, wouldn't that be delightful?
That's really good.
Would it be funny?
Oh, yes, that'd be funny.
No, they love it every week.
Cheese is funny, sheep is funny.
Well, that's a very pretty dress, Sherry. Why don't you turn around and show it to the Soul Train audience?
Why, thank you, Mr. Cornelius.
Turn it, man.
Gosh, Mr. Busybody, where are we going today?
Well, Herbert, I think we're setting the Wayback Machine, if I'm not mistaken, to the early 19th century. Russia.
Won't that take us into the time of Catherine the Great?
That's right, Herbert, and here we are in her bedroom right now.
She seems to have a horse in her bedroom.
If I'm not mistaken, Herbert, it's a royal limousine stallion.
Look, there's a horse!
What's he doing in her bed?
Well,
the better, Herbert.
I guess he wouldn't take nay for an answer.
Wilbur! Get on top of me like you used to in the old days.
Oh, come on, Ed. We don't have time to clown around. I've got to get ready for the barbecue tonight.
Barbecue?
Hey, maybe I can
well,
do
yeah, honey and I are having a barbecue.
Talking,
the whole neighborhood's coming, and we don't want you...
A Jewish fella, a college fella.
Hi, my name is Bubba Amos. I play tight end on the Rams.
And I'm B. Preston Bradley, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, kicking ass on a football field is one way that I get high. How about you, Bubba?
Well, one way that I get high is kicking ass on football field. How about you, Bubba?
Hello, Mom.
Yes?
This is your son, Devin.
Hello, Devin. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I thought I might come over this afternoon for a visit.
Oh, I'd love that.
In about half an hour.
What shall we do?
Well, I thought first I'd kick your head, and then I'd like to break your arm, if I may.
Jackson, John Hopkins.
Mini Minoso.
No, that would be caused by a pierced thorax. Okay, here's a 50-point toss-up. What 17th century British alchemist discovered peritonitis? Robin, San Juan A&M.
Sherry Lewis?
Yikes!
Well, you know the energy stream, right?
What was Disraeli wearing when he made his famous speech in the House of Commons on mercantilism?
May I take a stab at it?
Yes,
it's only a guess. An A-line skirt and a satin blouse with no stockings.
You're absolutely...
Hi. We're gonna put on dress today.
Nobody made you Hispanian a la con la vasectomy.
Wilbur, how come you don't whip me anymore with that bridle?
Vasectomy porque no bambino.
Whoa, Wilbur, my knee.
When mommies hear that sound, they know their little one is gonna come a-limping for help.
Right.
It's the Moose and Squirrel Show.
Hi, what do you want to do today?
I think maybe we should go shopping.
Shopping? Why, go to Bloomingdale's?
Maybe we could go to Henry Bendel, too.
Okay, but don't buy any more dresses. Just remember, you're not a sheep.
Hi,
Biffson and Buffson.
This is for 50 dresses, too.
How long did it take to clean up?
Can you say that?
Yeah. Wilbur!
In his mouth.
Good heavens.
What do you think this is? The Indianapolis 500,000?
Sure. They found another sort of, not a woodcut in this case, but an old painting of Bach wearing only underwear.
Hey, man, I'm going to turn off the TV set and turn on your radio, man, to listen to the National Lampoon.
Well, no, not in his
mouth. Oh, yeah, man, this dude's a real funny man.
They come up with some funny stuff, man. I'm going to turn off the TV. Okay, man, pull up the tape recorder. Here we go.
Turn on the radio, man.
Okay, I gotta go.
it ended a little early. Sorry about that. Hold on one second. Okay, I'll be off the air in about 45 minutes. All right, talk to you then. Bye. One moment. Yeah, I'm busy. Yeah, can I call you back? Okay, bye. Sorry. I'm leaving the phones on tonight because it's important that I know. Oh, I didn't hang up. What calls I miss or don't pick up, because there's all kinds of activity going on in the air with the conference coming up in a couple of days. So forgive me if I seem a little distracted. There's a lot going on. Move those over there. Yeah, that was Tommy Chong. All right, it wasn't Tommy Chong. Everybody wanted to know what was the final Tommy Chong tribute going to be. And, you know, I couldn't deal with the pressure, all right? I had to pick the best one ever, you know, the one that was my favorite, the one that was the funniest, the one that everybody would like. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I listened to everything they put out, over and over and over again. I just could not find something, A, that I hadn't already played, and B, that was worthy of the final tribute to Tommy Chong. So I found something totally by chance. I just so happened to pick up this National Lampoon Radio Hour box set. Actually, I picked it up, I think, more than a year ago, but I didn't get around to opening it until this past weekend. And what I do with my CDs is I basically throw them into a Mac, and iTunes encodes them, and then I have them all together so I can just basically randomize my entire music collection and also have it identified so I can quickly find things. So while it's encoding, I'm listening usually for the first time to the record that I'm encoding, and boy, was I ever surprised to hear the voices of Cheech and Chong. Of course, an imitation of the voices of Cheech and Chong, yes, but the voices nonetheless. And I figured that would be the best tribute to them, is a imitation of them. More a tribute to Tommy, obviously, but I thought it was something you probably never had heard before. I know I didn't. Anyway, so that comes from disc number 2, and it's called Channel Surfing, Cheech and Chong Parody. And, yeah, the National Lampoon, boy, they've got some good stuff out there. They really do. I'd forgotten about this. I'd heard some of their records that we have here at the station on vinyl years ago. Then they got all scratched, and I hadn't heard them in a while. And, of course, there were records that I had never heard. So this is kind of enlightening to me. But just to give you an idea of some of the people that are on this thing. Let's see. You got John Belushi, Richard Belzer, Adolph Caesar, Chevy Chase, Billy Crystal, Brian Doyle Murray, Joe Flaherty. The list just goes on and on and on. Unbelievable amount of people on this thing. Gilda Radner, of course. Voices that you certainly recognize, but doing things that you had not expected them to do. And tonight you heard them doing a Tommy Chong tribute, among other things. Many other imitations there. You heard Mr. Roberts, a piece I'd never heard. Mr. Roberts being the imitation of Mr. Rogers. It's unbelievable. It just can go on forever. But while we were in break, or while we were playing that, and while I was dealing with people, I also took a look at the website to just see where Tommy's gotten himself to, because the Bureau of Prisons, as we've mentioned, has an inmate locator. And this inmate locator tells you the status of the inmate. Okay, it tells you if they're in a certain prison, which prison it is. If they're released, it tells you that. If they're deceased, it tells you that. Look up Timothy McVeigh, and you'll see what it says. So I was a little perturbed to look up Tommy Chong and see, there he is, a 66-year-old white male, projected release date, July 6, 2004. His location, however, is still the Long Beach CCM. So I'm wondering, you know, what's up here? Why isn't he out? Why doesn't the webpage reflect the fact that he's out? You know, I think this is something that, we sort of need to know, you know, to make it complete. We've been going through this for months now, many months, and we want to know when he gets out. And it kind of is incomplete if we don't know that he's out right now. Now, I misplaced his phone number, so I can't call him to see if he is in fact out and what he's doing. But I do have the phone number. Whoops, I dialed the wrong number. How do you like that? The first digit I dial is wrong. I'm supposed to dial 9, though, aren't I? Yeah, okay. I have the phone number for the Long Beach CCM, whatever that is. Let's just make sure they didn't forget.
Prisons Community Corrections Office in Long Beach, California. For immediate assistance, please dial 0. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it at any time. To reach Steve Hedges, Community Corrections Manager, dial extension 18.
What's Thomas' extension?
For Roderick Wiley, Contract Oversight Specialist, dial extension 17. For Angela Broughton, Case Manager, dial extension
16. Enough of this. Let's dial 0. See if we can.
Your call is being transferred to the receptionist.
Prison receptionist. It's at 3:16 p.m. over there. Long Beach Correctional Community... something. It's 3:16. They shouldn't be on lunch now, you know. It's,
Hi, we are currently unable to take your call right now, so please leave a message after the tone. Thank you.
Well, that's not good. Okay, I probably shouldn't try to hack their system, but, boy, when the prisons don't answer, you have to wonder, does that mean something's... Well, we'll try it later. Okay. Hopefully there wasn't any kind of problem when Tommy got released. Or maybe they didn't release Tommy and he rioted. That's also possible. I'm rechecking the page, make sure they still say he's in there. Maybe they just don't update the page until the next day. That's always possible. All right, if anybody out there knows, if you've seen a news story or... you know, live C-SPAN footage or something of Tommy being released, please let us know so we don't have to panic like this. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the news. And, of course, we can take some phone calls in a little bit as well. This is really light type here, you know? We need to get some ink on this teletype. Okay, it's a good eye test, though. A humbled and thrilled John Edwards is now John Kerry's running mate. That's right. Kerry offered the nod to Edwards early today after his vice presidential search team set his assignment. Set his assignment? Got his assignment? Got his assignment. Something like that. There's an assignment involved and there's a vice presidential candidate picked. Got the assignment. Find a political soulmate ready to assume the presidency at any minute. Wow. Republicans have mixed reactions to John Edwards' selection as John Kerry's running mate. Is this the first time ever that it's been John and John? You know, have there ever been two Johns in the White House before? Apart from the stupid jokes that people are going to make, that's not what I mean, you know that. I mean, you know, was there ever Vice President John and President John? And what happens when, you know... dinner is served. John, you know, someone calls John down the hall. Who comes? I guess there's probably a lot of Johns in the White House that aren't president or vice president. Okay, so let's just keep the question. Was there ever vice president and president with the same first name as John? Or the same first name, period? Has that ever happened? Okay, I don't know how to look that up right now. But if anybody knows, again, our appeals are out to you. President Bush and Vice President Cheney offered a polite welcome to the race, I suppose. But others in the GOP labeled Edwards as disingenuous, unaccomplished liberal. Democrats are nearly unanimous in their approval. I think it's good. You know, I think this guy's going to add some enthusiasm. I know we were talking about this months ago, saying that Edwards was probably the guy that... that could help Kerry the most. You can't have Gephardt. Gephardt cried, okay? He cried when he got out of the race. He can't have that. No crybabies in the White House. And Dean, well, he's insane, so you can't have that either. Kucinich, well, you know. Let's continue with the news, though. I would like to hear people's opinions on this. Kerry and Edwards. You know, but the thing that gets me, I'm looking at a webpage here. The CNN webpage. it's got a picture of an airplane. And on the airplane, it says Carrie Edwards. You know, it's all painted on the airplane. Now, you can't just paint an airplane at a moment's notice. This takes time. Believe me, I know. I've been spending the last few months working on getting things designed and printed and ordered and contracted and all that kind of a thing. And this is just for a measly conference that's coming up. But, you know, for a vice presidential candidate or a presidential campaign, I imagine that there are a lot more people working on something. So, unless they had a bunch of dummy planes out there with every possible vice presidential candidate, and then they simply wheeled out the one that he picked today, I think the odds are that a lot of people knew about this beforehand. I mean, right after they made the announcement, there were all these signs that said Carrie Edwards. Okay, that in itself, you know, the printer would have known. And he probably printed these things well in advance. But an airplane? It's on the airplane. Good God. All right. Well, you know, I just think, you know, if we had our ears to the ground or whatever, we would know a little bit more about this. Okay. Continuing. Nothing new on the whereabouts of kidnapped U.S. Marine Corporal Rusuf Ali Hassan. A relative in northern Lebanon said earlier today the family received a sign that he had been freed. What kind of a sign, I wonder? And a Lebanese government official says Hassan was released after he pledged not to rejoin the U.S. military. Wow, if only it were that easy. A candid conversation today between Secretary of State Colin Powell and Israel's foreign minister. Powell says he voiced the Bush administration's disappointment over the slow pace of dismantling Israeli outposts on the West Bank. Disappointment. Do you think he used that word? You know, I'm disappointed. Imagine if we all went through life like that, pretending we were talking to Israel, you know, and being all nice and careful about what we say. Well, you know, you shouldn't, maybe you shouldn't, kill people that much. Use some more diplomatic means before you shoot them. You know, that kind of thing. I don't know, we should try it. Maybe it would help eliminate crime. Maybe if people would talk too gently. I don't know. The Archdiocese of Portland, Oregon says it'll have to seek bankruptcy protection because of clergy abuse settlements. But a plaintiff's lawyer says the church is lying about its financial situation. What happens if the church goes bankrupt? They have bake sales and they raise money. Same as always. I don't know what the difference is going to be. So they don't have a cathedral, they have a tent. You know, life goes on. Okay, what else is happening here? Greece, oh my God, did you see that? The soccer championship? You probably didn't see it in this country. But I was watching it on Canadian TV, and the whole rest of the world was watching it as well. And to see this team, this Greek national team, which was at one point 100-1 odds against them winning in the Euro 2004 championship, they went all the way. And it was amazing. You know, the first game of this thing, weeks ago, they beat Portugal. It was an upset. It was a shock. They beat Portugal in the opening game. And now, last Sunday, July 4th, in the final game, the championship game, and the only game where two teams have already faced each other again, Greece once again faced Portugal and beat them a second time. It was so symmetrical. But, you know, more importantly, it shows how the underdog can win. And I'm fascinated by this because you see how the reaction plays out back home. And you always, at least I am, I'm always rooting for the underdog. You know, I'm always rooting for that team. I was rooting for Latvia for a while. Of course, they got knocked out pretty quickly. And Bulgaria and all the teams that, you know, had no business being there. It's always the same. France, Germany, Brazil, although this is a European conference, so I don't know if they would have gotten into that. But, you know, to see Greece, although you would think that Greece would have a good soccer team over the years, for some reason it just didn't take off quite like it took off in other places. But to see the wild celebrations in the streets and just the happiness that takes place as a result of this. And yeah, it's stupid. It's a stupid thing to be happy over. But you know what? It's all stupid. No matter what it is that you're celebrating, in the bigger picture, there are things to be miserable over, and yeah, I guess it's stupid to lose sight of that. But it's also part of being human. So now, Greece, the country that was all depressed and worried about the Olympics coming up later this year, now they've got this tremendous shot in the arm because of a football game. You know? Because these guys wearing shorts and running around a field kicking a ball were able to do it better than a few other teams. Now, all of a sudden, there's Greek pride everywhere. And everyone's got spirit about the Olympics coming up. You know, if it can take something that insignificant and tiny to completely change your perspective, maybe things aren't so bad to start with, regardless of how your football team does. Anyway, in an explosion of underdog pride, patriotism, and giddy disbelief at beating the odds, Greeks joined in a Midsummer's Night party after their national team won the European Soccer Championship. The festivities, a much-needed boost after grueling and costly preparations for next month's Olympics, erupted just seconds after Greece's 1-0 surprise victory over host Portugal. I wasn't really that surprised. They beat the Czech Republic, you know? They beat the French. They were beating everybody. The reason they won, and I'm no expert here, but it was obvious by watching, they just had great defense. You couldn't get past that goalie, the guy with the gray hair. He's amazing. And the entire team was able to keep the ball on the other side of the field, which is really what it's all about. Church bells rang. Cars clogged the streets of every city and hamlet. Everywhere was a sea of blue and white, the colors of the Greek flag. Drivers blared horns. People yelled from balconies. Fireworks made some places seem like war zones. Shepherds fired... Oh, come on, how long is this going to go for? Good God. Associated Press really went out of their way on this one. Shepherds fired guns from mountaintops. Small nuclear weapons were launched. Oh, God. All right. Red flares whizzed skyward from luxury yachts. Police, already on full Olympic patrols, let down their guard for a moment to hug and dance. You see, that's the difference right there. When's the last time you ever saw New York City cops, or even Suffolk County cops for that matter, hugging and dancing people? You know, it's not the same. There, everyone seems to be part of the family. Everyone seems to unite in certain times. And here, it's like, yeah, I'm a cop, you're a person, and that's just the way it is. You might get a friendly nod, you know, or smile, something like that. That happens occasionally, okay. But you won't get dancing and hugging, I'll bet. Go ahead, try it. Try dancing and hugging with a cop. It's not going to fly. Even if the United States won Euro 2004, which would have been one tremendous achievement, I don't think you're going to see that kind of reaction. Anyway, continuing here. It's just sad, you know? We'd be so much happier. We could be so much happier. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. It's glorious. People were yelling that, running through Athens's... Athens's? Is that the way you're supposed to say it? How about the main Ammonia Square of Athens? Bands of school... Ammonia Square? It's spelled with an O, but still. They have to clean it at some point, don't they? Do you think they have special bottles? All right, never mind. Bands of school children danced draped in the Greek flag. For many Greeks, the team's stunning run meant more than just a sports crown. It brought a powerful national high at a time when Greek taxpayers are grumbling about huge Olympic bills, and security officials face nonstop pressure to satisfy international concerns. Olympic organizers hope the soccer fervor will spill over to the August 13th through 29th games. Ticket sales have been sluggish, and the blitz of work in Athens has made many people see the event more as a long headache rather than a glorious homecoming. Nearly every top official in Greece, including the head of the Olympic Organizing Committee, traveled to Portugal to watch the final match and proclaim that the success would unleash newfound Olympic spirit. That's right, they were all there in Portugal. Perfect time for a coup. They blew it. You know, if you called somebody in Greece Sunday and you wondered why they sounded so pissed off at you, well, it's because everybody in the country was watching the game. I guess Portugal, too, but really, Greece. And if you heard, say, about 5 o'clock or so, if you heard screams and shouting and anything like that, you probably live near a Greek neighborhood. And that would explain a lot of beeping, flag waving, that kind of thing. I remember, we even had that during the World Cup in various areas. There's a Portuguese community in Farmingville. And the thing that that annoyed me, though, was I hadn't seen the final game, Germany versus Brazil. And so I'm trying not to listen to the news. I'm trying not to, you know, pay attention to what's going on, which is hard for me. But in this country, it's not that hard because we don't pay attention to what's going on in the rest of the world. But as I was driving through Port Jefferson, nice little community, tourist trap, Port Jefferson, I see some idiot running around waving a Brazilian flag, and I knew right then and there who won the game. Thanks a lot. What are the odds? But I didn't see any reaction here in this country. In fact, it was the top story everywhere in the world, and here it wasn't even in the news. Wasn't even in the news. And, of course, you couldn't see it either unless you paid, I think, $179 for the pay-per-view package. And in Canada, you can get it in three different languages for nothing. Anyway, Premier Costas Karamanlis jumped up and down in the stands. I saw it. I saw him jumping up and down. It was quite a sight. After Angelo Caristia scored in the 57th minute, heading in a corner kick. The win also worked deeply on the Greek psyche. There was endless commentary about lessons to be drawn from Greece's stunning and cunning play over stronger opponents. For some, it was an unfamiliar taste of honor for Greeks tired of the country's reputation as unruly and disorganized. The most important trophy is that we won the respect of others, said Greek defender Trianos Delas, who scored seconds from the end of the first overtime in the semifinal against the Czech Republic on Thursday. Now, that was quite a game. They've changed the rules a little bit. Used to be they had the golden goal rule in overtime for the quarterfinals, semifinals, finals. That means if you're tied at the end of regulation, the first goal that goes in is the winning goal, the golden goal. Now what they do is they play two overtime periods, and at the end of each overtime period, if one team is ahead, that team wins, and that's called a silver goal. So what happened was the silver goal was scored literally seconds before the first overtime period was to end, and of course, the Czech Republic had no chance. So that was incredible. From the head of the Greek Orthodox Church, Archbishop Christodoulos, or something like that, had something to say about the virtues of discipline and hard work. Others viewed the resolve and unity instilled by the team's German coach, Otto Rehagel, yeah, that'll do, widely known as King Otto, as an example of how Greeks can shine within the right framework under German control. Greece's achievement at the European Soccer Championship in Portugal has nothing to do with the anarchic way the country functions. The Greek national team is the ultimate expression of method, organization, and self-discipline. That is perhaps the most important lesson the country and its leaders can learn from this latest miracle. That came from the daily newspaper, Katamarini. Greece entered the 16-nation championship considered outsiders to reach the second round. Some oddsmakers had Greece as an 80-to-1 shot at going all the way. I've seen 100-to-1. Then the team stunned Portugal 2-1 in the opening game and held Spain to a 1-1 draw in the next match. And here's the irony. The Greeks' only loss came in the final opening round match to Russia, a team that had not won any other game. So the only game they lost was to a team that hadn't won. Amazing. But it was okay because they were able to advance on a tiebreaker based on the number of goals scored. We talked about this earlier, a few weeks ago. And, you know, I think maybe this is the reason why this isn't introduced in this country so much, is because I guess we're afraid if the people think too much that they might be dangerous. You really have to think to figure this out. Everybody understood it over there. I didn't get it right away. I had to study a few things. But, yeah, everybody knew that Denmark and Sweden? I don't know. If a couple of teams played to a tie of some sort, or if they won by a certain amount of goals, that Greece would advance based on goal differential. We don't even talk like that here. You know? We have sudden death overtime. We have percentages and things like that. But to know that, okay, you have to win by three, otherwise, you know, you're going to lose. All these conditional things, and everybody understands it, and everybody gets it right away, and they don't have to have it explained to them. I mean, it's amazing when you see a team like Italy won their final game, and yeah, they're happy, but then you see them being sad because they realize the score of the other game that was being played at the same time. Or you see a double celebration, such as I believe Portugal had, where they won their last game, and then they found out the score of the other game, and they knew they had moved on to the next round, so they were even happier. You just don't see things like that here. What else? In the next round, Greece was unstoppable. They never gave up a goal while plowing under powerhouse France, the Czech Republic, and ending up where the tournament began against Portugal. Newspapers dubbed the team the Greek gods. Dozens of charter flights took fans to Portugal to witness the dream, as many Greeks have started calling the victory. Yeah, they had a run on tickets when they realized, hey, these guys are pretty good. Everybody wanted to go to Portugal from Greece. Travel agents were overwhelmed. No one expected it, cried Nikos Danzenas, watching fireworks over the Aegean Sea. I don't think anyone will sleep in Greece tonight, said a Greek TV commentator while the channel was displaying the wild scenes across the country. And that's what's coming out of Greece, if you're wondering what all the mayhem is about. Yeah, I think it's kind of a good idea to have a little bit of celebration sometimes in different places. Meanwhile, it was the 4th of July here in the United States. I'd like to know if people did anything. They had fun. They shot off fireworks. I was watching fireworks on West Meadow Beach on July 4th and realizing that every person that's shooting off fireworks was actually engaging in a form of civil disobedience because it's illegal. It's illegal to shoot off fireworks, and yet everybody was doing it. They were standing up to the powers and defying them. Sort of a passive resistance, I guess. And the cornerstone was laid for the new World Trade Center. It came from Hopog. It was engraved right out here in Suffolk County. And yeah, does anybody know, does a cornerstone actually do anything? Does it hold the building up or anything? I don't think it does. It's just a symbolic thing, right? All right. So yeah, the new World Trade Center is being built. But you know, this is the thing. Listen to these great words. What better day to lay the cornerstone of the Freedom Tower than the day our country declared its independence, said Governor George Pataki. He has such a way with words. Who has named the building the Freedom Tower. Now, damn it all. He got to name the building the Freedom Tower. Why did he get to do that? Everybody has been conferring on what the thing's going to look like, where it's going to be built, how long it's going to take, who's going to be there, who's not going to be there, where the memorial's going to be. He just comes out of nowhere and names the thing the Freedom Tower. I can't stand that name. It's just so tacky. Schmaltzy, you know, what have you. Is it even going to be called the World Trade Center anymore? Or are we just going to refer to it as the Freedom Tower or the FT or whatever? I don't know. They don't talk about these things to us. But it's going to be 1,776 feet high. And the thing that no one seems to be able to answer is how high you'll actually be able to go as a human being. I'm hearing 60 flights. And I'm sorry, that to me does not mean it's the biggest building in the world. You know, until you can go 100 flights above the ground, then, okay, you're in the highest building of the world. But if it's just an antenna or something pointing up or a spire, it's not the same thing. It's very different. It's cheating. Okay. Marlon Brando died. And, you know, this is also something very interesting. It's this convergence of events that happens occasionally. I told you about the National Lampoon record that I was encoding while I was working on all kinds of other things, just having it playing in the background. And to my surprise, as this thing is encoding, I think one day after the death of Marlon Brando, what do I hear?
Mr. Brando, I understand you refused your Academy Award because of your sympathy with the Indians. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
And most of your energies are now devoted to helping the Indians, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the way I spend most of my time now.
Well, now, could you tell us why you believe in expending so much of your efforts in aiding the Indian cause?
Well, for one thing, because of the way the Indians have been treated in this country. I mean, you go out to the reservation and you see how they live. They live like pigs. I mean, because it's the only way they can live. It's the only way the government will let them live. That's one of the reasons. Of course, there are other reasons.
What are some of the other reasons, Mr. Brando?
Dark meat. Boy, I love that stuff.
Beg your pardon?
Dark meat. Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brando. Are you inferring that the...
Those Indian squaws, boy. They look like bunnies. Boy, you get one of them squaws, and they'll get the hell out of you. You know what I tell them to do? I tell them to take these two fingers and cut the fingernails off and stick them up my...
Okay. Well, as you can see, interesting. Interesting humor there from National Lampoon, and that's an interview with Marlon Brando right there. And that wasn't the only thing, too. If I can figure out how to make this CD player move ahead to track number 50, which goes well beyond what most CD players display on the screen. Okay, we got something.
Listen, my brother, the grapevine says you're going to throw a tantrum.
I don't know, Charlie.
Look, kid, it's about time you got off your knees and started standing on your own 2 feet.
I figured I'd crawl around a little bit longer, you know?
Listen, Terry, how much do you weigh? You know when you weigh 10 pounds, 4 ounces, you were beautiful? You could have been another Mason Reese, any top kid star. You could have been up there. If it wasn't for that skunk we got you for a stage mother, she weaned you too fast.
Oh, Charlie, it wasn't her. It was you, Charlie. Don't you remember that night at a baby contest you came down to my crib and you said, kid, this ain't your night. We're going for the prize on Tatum O'Neal. Remember? This ain't my night. My night. I could have taken O'Neal apart. So what happens? She gets an Oscar and I get a one-way ticket to Pottyville. Well, Charlie, he was my brother. He should have taken care of me just a little bit so I wouldn't have had to take a crawl.
Goo, 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 goo. You don't know what I'm talking about. Terry, listen to me. I gave you a pacifier. I coddled you. I warmed your milk. I changed your diaper.
You don't understand, Charlie. I could have had class. I could have been a somebody. I could have been an anal retentive instead of a thumbsucker, which is what I am. Let's face it, Charlie. Oh, wow, Charlie. Put down the rattle, Charlie.
Here, kid, you better take this. You're going to need it. I don't have time to fool around with you. I just dropped a big load in my pants. Mommy!
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 Mommy! Mommy!
Well, yeah, you know, it's dated humor. No question about that. that one is called Baby Brando, but just, you know, the timing... I have this thing sitting in my house for over a year, and I just happened to listen to it the day after Marlon Brando dies and hear these two pieces in quick succession, too. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. And interesting, too, because of the Cheech and Chong reference before that. All right, are we going to try this again? Let's try this again. All right, let's get another phone line out. Find out why he has not been released, at least according to the website. Just would be nice to know, you know. They sound very pleasant there, I have to say.
Federal Bureau of Prisons, Community Corrections.
Yes, hi. I'm trying to find out the location of an inmate.
Okay, what kind of information do you have?
He was supposed to be released today. I just wanted to know if that actually happened.
Do you have his number at all?
Yes, I do. 07798-068.
Yes, he is currently released.
He is. Oh, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. And that is the official word. Tommy Chong has been released. Wow. I guess I should have asked him to update the web page, but you know what? I don't care. It's good enough. Good enough knowing he's out there. Welcome back, Tommy. Welcome to the world that locked you up in the first place. you think he's taking a hit yet? Don't know. I guess we'll never know. 631-632-9872. Give us a call if you have feelings on anything that we've talked about and feelings on last week's subject of the movie, Fahrenheit 9/11. If you've seen it, let me know. If you haven't seen it, let me know. I'd like to hear your viewpoints. As always, you know, on this program, we always have calls at the end. When we're signing off, that's when people call in, and we just have to admire all the lights flashing, but we can't touch them because our show is over. Yeah, it's nice, but it's not... quite the point, is it? All right, and you can also write to us if you somehow manage to miss this opportunity to call us, which a lot of people do. you can write to us, otw@2600.com. OTW, of course, standing for Off the Wall. And this is the last edition of Off the Wall before the conference, The Fifth Hope, in New York City. The gathering of computer hackers and phone freaks from all over the world, our fifth such endeavor since 1994. You can get more information on that, www.hope.net. We have Steve Wozniak, Kevin Mitnick, Jello Biafra, among others. And it's been sucking the life out of me for the last few months, and hopefully next week I'll sound a lot more chipper. We'll have gotten some sleep, maybe, and, you know, we'll just see what happens. Should be a fun weekend, though. Again, www.hope.net for the information on that, taking place in New York City, Hotel Pennsylvania, right across the street from Penn Station. Here's a piece of mail from Off the Wall, otw@2600.com. I just saw Control Room at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, and it's very good. The movie is about the media coverage of the war, and it shows a lot of footage of the Al Jazeera station, which is shown to be one of the best independent and most balanced news sources for the Middle East. I don't know about that. I don't know if it's the... Well, maybe in the Middle East it is. But it certainly is an interesting film to see. And I haven't seen it yet, but I'd like to. And maybe if I have time to see films one day, I'll go and see those. Yeah, if you've seen something, please let us know. tw@2600.com. Meanwhile, our phone number is 631-632-9872. See you out there. Good evening. You're on.
Oh, hey, Manuel.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
Well, we have had two Johns before in the White House.
Have we? And don't make a bathroom joke. Please don't make a bathroom joke.
Oh, no. John Quincy Adams and John Calhoun.
They were president and vice president?
Yep.
Oh, very nice. Well, yeah. Thank you for doing that research.
Yeah.
What year was that?
I saw Fahrenheit 9/11 yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, I've never seen a... audience applaud for a movie before.
Well, now, you saw it in Georgia. You saw it a week after it opened.
Yeah.
Actually, more than a week after it opened. And was the theater still packed?
Oh, there was a huge line outside.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's amazing. Do you know if many people had seen it twice, or was this the first time for everybody?
There seemed to be some people. I saw one person who said he'd been there before.
Uh-huh. So what was your favorite part, or least favorite part?
Well, that Taliban delegate there. That came to the United States, that part.
The Taliban delegation that came to Texas.
Yeah. Wow. Well, also there was one that came in March, I think,
mm-hmm.
of 2001 to the United States.
Yeah, you know, the Taliban was a government, and we helped put them in power, and I imagine that we weren't considering them to be terrorists until we decided that they were because they had Osama bin Laden in their country.
Yeah, and it was amazing because he was, like, insulting that woman reporter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was unbelievable.
And they tried to sell the war in Afghanistan as a liberation of women.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you know, propaganda can distort almost anything. And you didn't see very much. You saw some criticism of that, but you really didn't see anything on the level that you saw when we were justifying invading the country and, you know, bombing them and all that kind of thing. Any other parts?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks.
And the number is 631-632-9872. You know, Fahrenheit 9/11 is still out there and still playing. I wonder how long it's going to be playing for. I heard the other film, the film that supposedly is anti-Michael Moore, I think it's called Michael Moore Hates America, something like that, is going to be released on September 11th. Can you believe it? I mean, don't they get it that's in bad taste? I guess when you have bad taste, you don't understand when something is in bad taste, but my God. I mean, it's bad enough we're having this Republican convention right around that period of time in New York City, but if you want to make a statement, that's probably not the best way to do it. And speaking of that, oh boy, there was an article in the Times a couple of days ago just about all the craziness and paranoia that's taking place in preparation for the convention. Not our convention, the Republican convention. The federal authorities concerned about a terror attack during this summer's national political conventions have begun a new effort to identify potential extremists inside the United States, including conducting interviews in communities where terrorists might seek refuge. The fears about an incident during the conventions or later in the year have also led state and local officials to impose extraordinary security precautions. persistent, if indistinct, intelligence reports based on electronic intercepts and live sources, indicate that Al-Qaeda is determined to strike in the United States sometime this year. Now, almost half the budgets in each convention city will be spent on security, according to local officials. The DNC, Democratic Convention, in Boston at the Fleet Center will be held from July 26th to 29th. That's this month. And the Republican National Convention will be held in New York at Madison Square Garden from August 30th to September 2nd. New York is regarded as a higher risk than Boston by counterterrorism officials because President Bush is a Republican and because of consistent intelligence. Those two certainly don't go hand in hand. Al-Qaeda has unambiguous plans to hit the homeland again. And New York City, I am certain, remains a prime target. That's according to James Pavitt, the CIA's outgoing head of clandestine operations. I guess after being quoted, he can't be really head of clandestine operations, can he? Pasquale DeMuro, the head of the New York FBI office, said in an interview to nearly all the more than 1,100 agents in the office, which is the Bureau's largest field division, will be involved in collecting intelligence and other security tasks before the convention. Convention planners expanded its security requirements at the urging of federal officials after the March 11th attacks in Madrid. While the intelligence is not clear or specific enough to justify increasing the country's color-coded alert level, officials say there are signs of rising concern in the government. On Friday, cabinet members were briefed on the latest intelligence, which administration officials said indicate Al-Qaeda's intention to strike in the United States, but does not suggest when or where an attack might occur or who might be behind it. You know, it just seems like we're in the same position we've been in all this time. We don't know what's going to happen next. And that's kind of how, you know, terrorists strike. They strike you by surprise. So if you pour all this money into this and you expect all this, you're going to make everybody miserable and unhappy and paranoid. And on top of that, you're not even going to get a terrorist attack. You're not even going to get one because they're just going to do it someplace else where you're not doing that. Recent intelligence reports have hinted the attack might involve relatively crude materials in an uncomplicated operation, suggesting the possibility of a car or a truck bomb rather than a plot relying on sophisticated weapons or training like commercial aviation. Some of the information has indicated potential attackers might not be young Arab men, but religious extremists from other countries, possibly in Africa. Anyone who looks like they might be from Africa then could be a suspect now. Who might that be? Anyway, they're looking into everybody and everything. It's going to be a lot of fun. Good evening, you're on.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
Hold on, let me turn down the... this is Simon calling from Iowa City.
Iowa City in Iowa?
Yeah, long-time listener the last year and a half ago.
Oh, great.
Caller. I was just calling to see, why don't you get Mr. Chong on the line sometime?
Well, I imagine he's probably pretty busy now, but yeah, that's not a bad idea for the future.
Talking about him for the last, you know, 9-10 months.
Yeah, I know, I have. And it's good not to now. But we certainly would welcome him if he decided to grace us with his presence.
Yeah, so yeah, I saw Fahrenheit 9/11.
And what'd you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good. A lot of that stuff I had been reading about beforehand, so there weren't a whole lot of huge surprises. It's just nice to see a montage for the general populace who doesn't generally pay attention to some of that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, granted, it's a one-side opinion. You know, and as far as, you know, his main premise is, you know, Bush is an idiot, you know, of course, but, you know, you could take a, you know, video clips of anybody and make him look like an idiot. And I know it's not exactly hard with our president, but I don't know. So I just thought I'd call, say hey.
Well, do you think he was unfair in any way?
I don't think that he was necessarily unfair. I mean, I don't disagree with, you know, him as in a general way, but, you know, it's obviously one-sided, and, you know, I don't disagree with everything the president does either.
Uh-huh.
But
when did you see it in Iowa?
I saw it last Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And it was definitely full house, and there was some clapping and this and that, but it was interesting though.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, take care. And good evening. You're on.
Yeah, hi. I did see Fahrenheit 9/11 myself over at the Cinema Arts Center.
In Huntington.
Actually, it's meant to be one-sided. After all the news that we're getting anyway is slanted the other way.
You're right. I mean, it is. It's obviously one-sided, and yeah, the news is one-sided, and it's a reaction to the news. I find it amazing how everybody expects 100% fairness from the other side when they don't expect it from the mainstream.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And to even, like, to denigrate the guy, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Opening everybody's eyes, and there's a lot more information out there. He's just hit the tip of the iceberg. People really should start opening their eyes and looking into it, and then maybe they'd have a much more balanced opinion of what's going on.
There are a lot of people who think he doesn't go far enough, and
I'm one of them.
Well, hopefully there'll be more films coming out.
I read an article on him in Entertainment Magazine, I think it was. I'm not really sure, but he says his next spot he's going to do is going to be the HMOs. So that ought to be a hoot, and I can't wait for that.
I'm just glad there's people like that out there. You know, whether they're right or wrong, I'm just glad to see people care and get into what they do.
Absolutely, I agree. The American public is very duped and very, they just control. They need to have a freer opinion of what's going on.
Okay, thanks for your call.
All right.
And it's just good to pay attention to what's going on, whether it's world events or football or what have you. There's always something happening, and, it's interesting in one way or another. Hey, we're out of time, and next time you hear my voice, well, actually, you might hear my voice tomorrow night on Off the Hook, but next week at this time, the conference will take place. Love to see you down there. www.hope.net for all the details. Going to close out with more of the Cheech and Chong track from National Lampoon, followed by fake blues song, a B.B. King tribute, also from National Lampoon. That'll take us right up to the blues show here on WUSB Stony Brook. Till next week, Emmanuel Goldstein, have a good night.
Hey, man, that was a really funny show, man.
Oh, man, let's play back the tapes, man, and write it all down, okay, man?
All right, man.
Oh, it'll be...
Cheech and Chong, no, man, they're not here, are they?
They're not here, man, no.
What do you want Cheech and Chong for, man?
Stealing comedy material.
Oh, man, they want to steal comedy material.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, man, I can hear the microphone.
Attachment. We've been cohabitating quite a while. But her affections have been alienated, and so she changed her domicile. Every day I feel depressed. All nocturnally, diurnally, I feel so depressed. And psychological reaction to environmental stress. You know that when your baby leaves you, you get feelings of inadequacy. Oh, yeah. Or when your baby terminates your relationship, gives rise to feelings of inadequacy. I've been experiencing rejection and sexual insecurity. Every day I feel depressed. Nocturnally and diurnally, I feel so depressed. I'm experiencing psychological reaction to environmental stress.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB.